King, but he also came to be the perfect salvation. If you go back into Numbers, I was singing earlier this week in the Old Testament, and you read about the rites of sacrifice that God laid down. God laid down that when the sacrifice was made, that the animal was bled out. And I believe that Christ did just that. I don't believe there was any blood left in his body when they took him down from that cross. He gave all according to the Old Testament rites of sacrifice to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins, and then was resurrected to give us the promise of eternal life with him. So let's sing the end of this, well, the end of the earthly story, the beginning of the eternal story, number 141. Thank you. singers tonight. Just let me remind you.
And saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb.
And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy.
And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said,
My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall all be blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name.
And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree.
He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath bound his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever.
Father, bless us now as we turn to your word. I pray your Holy Spirit will be in our midst tonight. Lord, that you'll open our eyes up and help us to see wonderful things from thy law. We love you so much, Lord. We thank you for this account that we have of Christmas. We thank you, Lord God, for this time. We thank you, Lord God, for the love that you show us. We thank you most of all, Lord God, for Jesus Christ, for the fact that he came this season, and that, Lord God, that he came down to save our souls. We thank you for all that you do for us, and we adore you. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said,
Amen.
You know, it tells us in the text that Mary arose in those days, and this is right after she had been told that Elizabeth was going to have a baby and that she was going to have the Christ child. And she immediately rose up to go and see Elizabeth. Now, there's a reason for that. You see, Elizabeth and her husband Zacharias were well advanced in age. They had no children. And back in those days, you didn't have hospitals you could go to when you had a child. You had to go to family, and family had to gather around you and take care of you. So Mary, I believe, got up and went toward Elizabeth to tend to her. She knew Elizabeth was in the sixth month. Well, this was a serious trip that she was going to take. She was actually about 81 miles from Elizabeth as the crow flies. And the Bible tells us that Mary went by herself, a young lady, by herself. We don't know if she rode a mule or a donkey, and we don't know if she rode something or walked that way. But any way you look at it, it took her several days to get there. And here you see the faith of Mary as she goes.
Amen.
You know, she believed what the angel told her whenever the angel told her that. And I think that's a good thing for us to do. Amen. When God tells us something, we need to trust his promise, because God does not lie. And God cannot fail. You know, I think I put on your sheet there, there's a few things God cannot do. God cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18 says it's impossible for God to lie. And God cannot change. He says, I am the Lord God, and I change not. God cannot break a promise. Psalm 89:34 says, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that comes out of my mouth. And God cannot be pleased with faithlessness. God is never pleased when we do not have faith in what he says. When you tell God, I don't believe you, that's like calling God a liar or saying, God, you're going to break your promise. And God does not cherish that. Mary immediately, she got up. I want you to see her faith. It says in Luke 1:39, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. She went quickly. I think that's a beautiful picture of faith.
Amen.
You see, she didn't hesitate. We see the same thing in Genesis 22 with Abraham. When God told Abraham, he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, and sacrifice him on the altar that I'm going to tell you, on the mountaintop that I'm going to tell you to go to. The Bible says Abraham rose up early in the morning and he went with haste to that place. And see, that's what happens. If you believe God, you go with haste. You know, fear tells us to hold back, but haste tells us to go forward. Fear tells us to hide our heads, but faith says, I'm going to trust my God and I'm going to do what he tells me to do. When you stand with God, you stand in the majority. So do what God tells you to do. Do what God tells you to do. I want you to notice that next text there, Luke 1:40. It says, Mary entered into the house of Zacharias. God got her through this trip. God got her through all the trials that were there. The hill country was filled with thieves and robbers, but God took care of her. She wasn't worried about it. She got where she was going. God will always take you where God wants to take you. And she entered into the house of Zacharias, and she saluted Elizabeth. And I want you to notice in verse 41, it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to go back and read that again. Whenever this baby is 6 months old. 6 months old. When Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby John leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is it that this has come to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy."
Amen.
Oh, I love that, don't you?
Amen.
That baby in the womb is not just a piece of tissue. That is a living soul that's
Amen.
In there. And that baby, and I want you to see that and revel in that. This baby John knew that the mother of the Lord was there. But I want you to notice something else. Mary is just a few days with child. Now, I'm going to stop because y'all might have missed that. You see, the Bible says whenever the angel told her the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, she arose up in those days with haste. In those days. She wasn't several months pregnant. She was several days pregnant. People say the baby in the womb is just a glob of tissue. Can I tell you this? That baby in the womb, as soon as it's conceived, it became the Lord.
Amen.
And the baby that was in Elizabeth knew that that baby that was in Mary was a baby. Don't make me say that again. I almost got confused. But there's life in both of these women.
Amen.
This is not a blob. This is life. Aren't you so glad that Mary did not abort Jesus?
Amen.
Aren't you so glad Mary didn't let fear keep her from doing what she should have done? Aren't you so glad that, see, back in those days, if Mary had been caught with child while she was still unwed, back in those days, you could be stoned with stones until you were dead. Someone who gave up their virginity could be stoned with stones. Now, in America today, nobody cares. We watch TV and we make light of that. We go, oh, well, they're in love. It's okay. But back in those days, it was not okay. Mary could have thought about this and said, you know, I don't know about this angel thing, but they're liable to stone me with stones till I'm dead. But instead, Mary looked upward and she said, my God said that he's going to give me a child.
Amen.
And I'm going to trust my God to protect me.
Amen.
And to take care of me. And she went where she was supposed to go, and she did what she was supposed to do. And she was exalted in that. God, the angel said, what God said, God always does. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
You know, when I see all of this, look what it says in verse 42 and 43. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. There's no jealousy or envy in the faith that these ladies have. Elizabeth is not belittled because God chose her to bear John and Mary to bear Jesus. She's not belittled in that. She's pleased because God chose them both, and she's worshiping. You know, the faith that you see between these two women is a wonderful faith. The Bible says that Elizabeth says in verse 45, blessed is she that believed. Mary showed belief in what she did. You know, it's easy to say, I believe. Y'all do that right now. Say it all together. I believe.
I believe.
Did that cost you anything?
No.
Did that hurt your lips?
No.
Did your teeth tingle right now? Y'all say that again. I believe. There's nothing to that. Not a thing to it. But you know what belief is? It's where you get up off your backside and do something.
Amen.
That's what you do. You get up and you move. You don't just talk about it, you move. You do the things that God calls you to do.
Amen.
And that's what these ladies did. They did what God told them to do. As she said, blessed is she that believed. There shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Because you believed, Mary, because you believed, God is going to do what God said he's going to do. So many people lose the blessing of God because they don't do what God tells them to do. And if you fail to do what God tells you to do, you will lose the blessing of God every time. But if you step out on faith, oh, beloved, God will bless you.
Amen.
You know, everybody makes fun of Peter because he stepped out on the water and he went down in the water. And they say, oh, Peter, he should have took his eyes off the water. But all these schmucks that was in the boat never walked on water. Amen?
Amen.
But Peter walked on water. If it was just for that long, he walked on water.
Amen.
And that's a story he could tell his grandchildren. I walked on. Wouldn't y'all like to tell your grandchildren that? I walked on water. I tell my grandchildren fish tales, don't y'all? Nobody ever believed him, but Peter walked on water.
Amen.
Faith is when you step outside of the boat and you say, I'm going to do what God told me to do. And that's what Mary did. That's what Elizabeth did. As they humbled themselves, and as Mary humbled herself before the Lord, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths, the Bible says. As Mary looked to the Lord, she began to sing a song of praise. And I want you to notice it says, this is Mary's song that she sings. Verses 46 through 49, she begins to sing. And it says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. When you step forth in faith and do what God tells you to do, God will put a song in your heart.
Amen.
He'll put a smile on your face. He'll make you happy. I don't see very many happy people today. And I'll tell you, the diagnosis for that is start doing what God tells you to do.
Amen.
Start stepping outside of yourself. Start going out there and doing what Jesus told you. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. Do that. Give of yourself. Step out there. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I want you to notice the first thing she sang about is she lifted up God. That's how our lives should be. Everything we do should magnify the Lord. It should lift Him up. It should praise Him. That's why we should do what we do. Because God is good. And God is an awesome God. And God is worthy of praise. So we magnify Him. The Lord Most High is awesome. And He's a great King over all the earth. And we're to worship Him. You know, we're to worship Him because He's a big God. I heard a story one time about an alcoholic. And he couldn't seem to break the problem. So he went to somebody else. He said, what shall I do to break this terrible habit? Well, the guy told him, he said, look, you need to rely on somebody higher than yourself. Higher than yourself. You need to trust that. And trust that individual. Alcoholic went outside. He sat underneath an oak tree. An acorn fell down on his head. And he looked up and he saw a little squirrel right there. He said, little squirrel, I guess you're my God. I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to trust you. And the alcoholic never got any better. You know why? You can't follow a false god and get better. You've got to follow the God who created the little squirrel. And who created the tree, and who put the acorn in the tree, and in fact, the God who created the gravity that holds us to this earth. You need to trust that God. And if you trust that God, and you make Him higher than yourself, and you exalt Him for who He is, God will bless you.
Amen.
God will bless you. You know, you need to just trust Him, magnify Him. I want you to notice she says next, she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. And then she turns and uses a different word now. In verse 47, she says, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
Amen.
My spirit, what's the difference between the soul and the spirit? Everybody has a soul, but not everybody has a spirit. I'm going to say that again. Everybody has a soul,
Amen.
But not everybody has a spirit.
Amen.
Those who are dead in sins are spiritually dead.
Right.
A person who's spiritually dead does not have a spirit. God made man in the Garden of Eden, body, soul, and spirit. And everybody you see has a body and they have a soul. The soul is the inner part that it directs the outer part. The soul is the real you. That thing that we're looking at right there, that's the shell, that's the tent. Some of y'all have really nice tents. Some of y'all's tents are getting tattered. Some of y'all's tents are losing hair. Amen. Some of y'all's tents are bigger than other tents. And some of you's thin tents. But they're all tents. They're temple. They're tabernacles. But they're just temporary. But the soul is eternal. The soul is made in the image of God. And the soul is forever. And everybody has a soul.
Amen.
But until you're born again, you don't have a spirit. Amen. Mary loved God. And
Amen.
She was born again. Mary was a saved person. She said, my soul, that part of me that drives me, she said, it magnifies my God. Amen. I make this soul bow down. But then she said, my spirit, that part that connects me with God, it rejoices.
Amen.
Because it honors God. She said, my spirit honors the Lord. It rejoices in God, my Savior.
Amen.
God was her Savior of her time. She took a lot of time to get to where Elizabeth was. God was the Savior of her tongue. She was careful about what she said. God was the Savior of her treasure. Everything that Mary had, she trusted it to God. He was the Savior of her talent and her testimony and her toil. He was the Savior of all of Mary. And I tell you, if God's not the Savior of all that you are, then God has not saved you. God has to have all of you, or God has none of you. You need to give yourself to God wholly, beloved, because that's the way of Christ.
Amen.
Christianity is a soul exchange, is what it is. It's giving it to God and saying, God, you take this, and then I'll take what you have.
Amen.
That's what salvation is. Mary trusted God, she loved God, and she said, look what she says in verse 48. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Look at the humility of Mary. Oh, isn't that a beautiful humility?
Amen.
You know, a lot of people who were told that they were going to receive the Savior, they were going to bring forth the Savior, they're going to bring forth the Christ, they probably would have had some bragging rights. She's not bragging. She says, you saw my low estate, Lord, and you came to me in my lowness.
Amen.
And you exalted me.
Amen.
And I want to thank you for that. Beloved, the salvation we have, we don't have it because we've earned it or deserved it. The salvation we have is because Jesus Christ gifted it to us. That's what's so beautiful about what Jesus did for us. Mary said, thank you, Lord, for looking at me. And she said, you regarded the low estate of my handmaiden. I'm your servant, Lord. And for henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. The Lord shall call me blessed. She goes into some text in verse 51 through 55 that deals with pride and humility. And I want you to notice what she says in verse 51. She says, he hath showed strength with his arm. He scatters the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He puts down the mighty from their seats, but exalts those of low degree. He filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent empty away. He helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. Mary says, look, God scatters the proud, but he gathers up those who love him. God tears down the mighty, but he lifts up those who are low degree. He fills the hungry with good things. Y'all see a theme here? When you come to God with empty hands saying, God, I need, God will fill.
Amen.
But when you come to God telling God what you're going to do, that doesn't work. Because God is God. God will always be God.
Amen.
And God is an awesome God. You know, God doesn't need us to keep
Amen.
The world running. I heard a cute little saying the other day. These two guys were talking, and they were fretting about something. One guy told the other guy, and I thought it was really cute what he said. He said, the universe rolls on its own. You don't have to get out and push.
Amen.
Think about that for a minute. The universe rolls on its own. God moves it. God does it. So we trust God and we love God. That's what Mary said. She said, trust God, love God. Come to him hungry. Come to him hungry. The entirety of Mary's song is a humble song. It's surrendered to the Lord. And to those who come to God with open arms, God will bless them. He scatters those who are arrogant, but he blesses those who are not. That's a pattern of what Jesus did. Philippians chapter 2 tells us this. Jesus, who was in the very form of God, did consider it robbery to be equal with God. But Jesus, this King of kings and Lord of lords, made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a bondservant. He came in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus humbled himself for us. We humble ourselves
when we come to him. And that's the way of the cross. That's the way of the Christ. C.S. Lewis said this, and I love this quote. He said, the whole offer which Christianity makes is this, that we can, if we let God have his way, come to share in the life of Christ. If we do, we shall then be sharing a life which was begotten, not made, which always existed and always will exist. Christ is the Son of God, and if we share in this kind of life, we shall also be sons of God. I love that.
Amen.
If we come to him who is the only begotten of the Father, then we become the adopted children of God.
Amen.
He goes on and says this, we shall love the Father as he does and as the Holy Spirit will arise in us. He came to this world and became a man in order to spread to other men the kind of life he has by what I call good infection. Every Christian is to become a little Christ. Amen. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else.
Amen.
Jesus came to this earth. He became incarnate so that we could become sons of God. And we see the way of faith in Mary's life. What a beautiful, beautiful message that is. I look forward to this next Sunday as I see the choir and their composite. I hope y'all will all show up, bring friends. I hope we'll pack the house. I hope we're sitting in the aisle. I hope we're standing in the back. But the main reason we're coming is not to exalt in the choir, but it's to worship the Lord who did so much for us. Our God is an awesome God. And when we come together, we come to worship him. The things that we do to exalt him. Everything we do, let it be pleasing to our God. I love you guys. Jerry, you want to end in the final hymn?
We can do that.